Hey again, it's Yuki. I use they, them pronouns and I work at Nokia, and this is Telco Pride. This is our fourth episode, and the short version is we're a bunch of LGBTQ+ people and allies from across the telecoms industry. We are the companies that run the networks and the ones that build them, and the suppliers who build them with us. We compete on nearly everything, but not on this. We started this back in June. And today is the fourth conversation, and the last, the final episode of the series. For this year, anyway. So far, this has all been about people. Being out at work, being yourself online, being the manager who decides whether the room feels safe. But this time, it's not a person at all. It's the thing that has quietly turned up in every one of those rooms. AI. We are told it's neutral, objective. Just math. Unfortunately, it isn't. Someone went and tested that and found it treats people like us worse. Measurably worse. Again and again. Not because anyone typed in the bias on purpose. It just learned from us, from everything we've ever written down. And it copied what it found, including the parts we're not really proud of. It doesn't understand fair. It just repeats the pattern. I'm not hosting this one. Karen is. She runs the AI factory at Telenor, so she builds the stuff we're talking about. And she brought Sophie, a summer intern, a psychologist by training, who spent a few weeks with the research and quietly took apart everything Karen thought she knew. Okay, that's enough for me. Here's the conversation.
Today, we're going to explore something that's becoming increasingly relevant as AI becomes more and more embedded in our societies and our lives. But a topic that isn't talked about enough, in my opinion, is the relationship between AI and inclusion, particularly in the context of the LGBTQ+ community. I'm joined here today with Sophie Williams, a summer intern at Telenor who has a background in psychology. And she's been researching this topic over the last couple of weeks. I, myself, am Karen Hilson, and I'm heading the AI factory here at Telenor. So I'm really interested and inspired in bringing both a research perspective and a practical perspective into this discussion. I think what's interesting is that AI is often presented as something objective or neutral, but the more you look into it, the more that becomes questionable. So what we want to do today is just to take a step back and unpack that. We started by asking, does LGBTQ+ bias actually exist in AI systems? And if so, where does it come from today? And how does it happen? And also, what roles do companies such as Telenor play in shaping that? So Sophia, thank you so much for joining me. And as I said, I met you a few weeks ago and I was really inspired by the research that you have done. And it was also, I brought back some of my perspectives. And also when I started working as a leader, I always remember where there was a bunch of people that were sitting in a corner once and I went up and spoke to them. And they started the Rainbow Club. This was many years ago. And they said to me, Karen, we don't really feel included. We feel we can't be ourselves. And as a leader, I felt awful and dug into it. And we did a lot of work then in that company to make sure that everybody had their role and could be themselves and everything and felt included. But now I've asked the question, is this biased also now in AI systems? And I know you've done a lot of reading, but can you share with some of your perspectives?
Yes, thank you, Karen. So as you say, we often think of AI as something that is neutral or objective. But in reality, several studies indicate that AI systems, in fact, do exhibit LGBTQ+ bias. And this bias is measurable and consistent.
Wow.
A specific article on a benchmark called WinoQueer found that language models systematically associate LGBTQ+ identities with more negative or stereotypical outputs compared to heteronormative ones, which suggests that AI systems are not inherently neutral, but instead they reflect patterns, assumptions, and prejudices present in the data they are trained on.
But was this just on one model, or was this, did you see that over more? Because that's quite shocking, actually.
It is shocking. It's quite an outrageous claim in a way.
Yeah.
But they found that it ranged from slight bias to gravely concerning bias. And the ones that they identified is one called BART base, which was gravely concerning. And the more slightly concerning one was Albert. But they did identify several other models, actually. So it seems to be rather consistent across several different AI systems, actually.
But this was actually a sort of conscious study that was done. Does it really exist in practice?
It really does exist in practice. And actually, it does have real-world consequences for people part of the LGBTQ plus community. For example, AI systems can misidentify or deadname individuals. They rely on...
What do you mean, just deadnaming, you said?
Deadnaming is, for example, someone transitions from, say, a man to a woman. Their name, while they were still biologically a man, is known as their deadname.
Okay.
And being referred to by your deadname is very harmful and can be very triggering for people.
And something that an AI model would never know.
It wouldn't understand, because these AI models also rely on very rigid binary gender assumptions. There's a man and a woman. It doesn't allow for any fluidity or allow for any complex human identities, which is very harmful because in reality, humans are very complex.
Yes.
And thus fail to recognize certain identities altogether. As well as they can also contribute to censorship or downranking LGBTQ plus content and even exposing individuals to harmful interactions.
But when there's different types of content that are handled, you've given one example, do you think that AI tends to treat certain topics as more sensitive than others?
It is proven in the research I found that they actually do. They can sometimes flag LGBTQ plus content as sensitive or risky, whereas they wouldn't with heteronormative content. And this is moving into a conversation about how bias presents itself. Bias in these AI models doesn't present itself as overt discrimination or hate speech. It's often very subtle. It can appear as being more cautious, hesitant, less fluid. And particularly, we see this when we compare the responses to LGBTQ plus content with heteronormative content. And these things can also lead to LGBTQ plus topics being more heavily filtered out, even when the content itself is neutral.
But if we're aware that this is happening, why does the bias occur? What can be done? Is it how the models are being trained, or?
So the main issue is the training data that these AI systems are trained on, because AI is often trained on these large data sets that can contain harmful biases, historical biases, and these patterns and stereotypes which are embedded in this training data. AI then interprets that, and because AI doesn't understand the concept of fairness, it just simply copies it and then inadvertently perpetuates it out into the public if biases are not addressed. So bias training data is the number one issue that I found while researching, as well as an underrepresentation of LGBTQ plus voices in this training data.
So it's very much where you're going, this idea of a default user that's actually being built in and it can't identify the difference. So sort of, do you think it's something that happens unintentionally, or is it malicious, or how do you see?
I think it's often unintentionally. Yeah. AI just interprets what it reads and perpetuates it unintentionally. It isn't aware that it's doing something specifically wrong. But it does, in a way, the companies that make these AI systems, they are responsible.
Okay, yes.
It really depends who is making it, what are their values, what are they putting out there. And one thing I found a bit interesting while I was researching was that the CEO of OpenAI, Sam Altman, he suggested that the future of ChatGPT could start to alter their responses to reflect the user's views or cultural contexts. And this is very, what should I say? This is can be very problematic.
Okay.
Because on one side, this will then could perhaps increase the user's use of AI and increase their use of chatbots. But that is also an economic incentive for companies to keep doing this. And then that brings the whole question of, is AI objective and neutral anymore? If it's just reflecting your own values, your views, your cultural contexts.
So it becomes a bigger question, not just of the biases, but the trade-offs of the motivations, and then what can you really trust?
Exactly. Yes.
And then we've spoken a bit about the bias, if it's really happened, how we can train data. There's much that goes also into the simplistic of the design and how, you know, that AI systems are quick to handle complexity, because I guess there is always going to be this complexity around it and everything. And when you look at all these elements together, I guess there's patterns that come out, and I guess it does make people more vulnerable as well. But we're here today also discussing companies, and what role do you feel company, maybe you haven't done so much research to say on that, but do you see company, in your opinion, what role can companies play? You gave OpenAI as one example of maybe an AI-driven company. But what about other corporates and enterprises?
So what is interesting is that the same issues that create bias in AI can also be used to fix it, such as including a more diverse data training set, which includes LGBTQ plus voices, and actually includes them in the design process and the deployment process, and also obviously uses training sets that don't include historical biases or stereotypes, anything that could further perpetuate harmful outputs towards the LGBTQ plus community, is the main issues that I think companies can really fix. They have the power to fix it.
Okay, so just as for years I've heard, we've been really focused on diversity and inclusion in our employee base, and we see the advantages of that when we have both diversity and inclusion. I really believe we get the best out of people, you get the different voices. So you're very much saying that the companies and corporate actually can play a role also, the same sort of thing they've been playing with it within their organizations, but also when it comes to designing AI models or training data and everything, to take that into consideration as well. So very much as well with the responsible AI, I guess, so that comes into the elements here.
Yes, and that might bring us into Telenor's perspective and role in all of this. Telenor is a tech company. And I just wonder how these challenges that we've discussed now, how do you see them showing up in practice at Telenor? Have you ever met them? How did you overcome them? What do they look like for you?
Now, as you say, I feel it's a topic that's not being discussed, as we said in the intro. So I think it's very important that companies become a lot more aware that it does exist. And as companies now are integrating and using AI a lot more in their transformation programs and their every working day tools, I think we just really need to be mindful of it. And at Telenor, I know we work a lot with responsible AI, and I think these elements also need to be taken into this. So I fully agree with you that corporates and large organizations have to be aware of this topic as well and have to actually take a responsibility. I definitely see that there is a role there.
Yeah, so you mentioned the principles and responsible AI, and Telenor, they have a defined set of principles, commitments to fairness and non-discrimination, respect for human rights, high quality data, and transparency with appropriate oversight. And on paper, these principles are great, but how do you ensure that those actually translate into real outcomes in AI systems?
I think it's like everything we do working. It's something, one, we need to talk more about. Two, we need to make sure people are more aware of it. I think people, as you mentioned, the respect for human rights is something we work quite a lot with here. And I think we have to be not afraid to talk about it. I think we need to help train these models wherever possible and when we can, when we use them. So I think the most important thing is we don't shy away from this. I think it's really important we talk about it, which is one of the things we're talking about today. And as I said, I have to confess, when you and I started talking about this a few weeks ago, I was quite shocked, actually. I just assumed that these didn't exist. And I think just by the fact that we started having this dialogue, we started to actually being more conscious and raising awareness of it, then we need to really incorporate and integrate this also into our code of conduct and the way we work. I think there's no excuse not to do this. And it's also our values here at Telenor as well. It goes on trust, curiosity, and passion. And I think these three values are also extremely relevant for this conversation. And as I said, we've been on this diversity and inclusion journey now for several years, and we've been really included it in the way of work. As I said, when I gave that example of my personal story where I was a bit shocked, where people actually said they didn't feel safe, they didn't feel they could be themselves. And we really actively went out of way to make sure that everybody did feel included and could be themselves and be the best of themselves even. So I think we need to take that also into consideration when we're using AI, just as the same. And when we're talking about AI, again, the success of AI is that you have to have a human in the loop. And I think this is where it all comes very beautifully together.
Yeah, I agree on all those points.
But what would you like seeing, Dan? You've been our summer intern here now as well. What do you think after doing all this research and spending a few weeks with us, what would you like to see companies doing more?
I think I would like to see companies acknowledge their role more, like we are doing today. It is refreshing to hear someone actually take into account, okay, we have these issues, and do something about it and talk about it and spread awareness. I think that's our main goal with this. Our main objective is to spread awareness that this is actually happening, because you don't even really consider that it's happening until you research it and you're like, wow, this is a really widespread issue. And companies, they spread AI systems at a scale, deploy to millions of users who use it and may run into these very damaging, potentially damaging issues. So I think companies play a huge role in that. And I would really love to see large corporations and companies taking more accountability, I guess, is my kind of main takeaway. And then obviously going in and really continuously improve their data sets, because that is what this is. It's not something that you just go in, quickly fix, and then it's done. It's a continuous process.
It's a continuous process. Okay, Sophie, I see we're running out of time. We need to wrap. Thank you so much both joining me today in this dialogue with the Reset, and thank you for opening my eyes on this subject. And I really hope for the listeners, really have the curiosity to dig into this. And as you say, everybody needs to really, the responsibility does not stop at building AI. It really extends on how it's deployed and how it's experienced by users. So I really hope our short podcast here has actually given people the curiosity to dive into this. And as you say, Sophie, to take an active role and do this. So thank you for listening. And thank you for Sophie for joining me.
Thank you.